Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, maybe it's because it's Friday. Maybe it's because I'm having withdrawals following the Labor Day weekend. Had so much fun for the Labor Day weekend, getting out on the water, getting out and enjoying the great outdoors. And I'm like, okay, it's Friday. Let's get to another weekend. I think we got one more summer-like weekend at least left in us here. So I want to put one big, giant bow on the week. This is a topic that's come up a few times this week. And in a way, it's a topic that's been coming up all year long. It's a topic that's been coming up for decades. So let me just throw this one out here real fast, and then we'll move on to other topics. We've got the phone lines open for you, so you can call in and talk about what you want to talk about. But let me just put one big, gigantic bow on the week here. No joke, no Adam Schiff, no Schiff, no joke. I'm scrolling the news headlines earlier this morning, and I end up on the KPAX TV website, kpax.com, out of Missoula, and one headline stacked upon another. Here is the first headline. Missoula County approves budget, 8% increase in county property taxes. The headline immediately below that. Flathead County Commission approves budget. Now, they forgot to add the comma and then the other half of the headline there. Had they included the other half of the headline in that story, you would have seen Flathead County Commission approves budget, lowers property taxes. Anyway, no Adam Schiff, no joke. Go to x.com/Aaron Flint. You will see one headline stacked upon another. There you go. There you have it. The Democrat County Commissioners in Missoula, they've already raised taxes over 20% in just the last couple of years on the people of Missoula. And now another 8% increase in county property taxes. Headline below that, Flathead County Commissioners, all three Republicans, approved their budget, and they're lowering property taxes for their people. Now, that led me to another headline that caught my eye earlier this morning. This one was from the Billings Gazette. And it's a story about property taxes, once again, and the Liberal School Board in the largest school district in the state of Montana. Here's a quote from this story. To help cover the local property tax rates declining, the school board approved increasing the number of mills collected, meaning the significant decrease the legislature intended won't be as great as some might have thought. Didn't we tell you this was going to happen? No matter what the state did or does with regard to property tax relief, you watch as liberal city governments, as liberal county governments, and as liberal school boards steal any of the tax relief you thought you might get. We said that last spring. Look at the headlines from this morning alone. Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk. Phone lines are open. Back right after this.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, sometimes we talk about Montana stories. Sometimes you'll want to talk about national stories. Sometimes we mix it all up. That's what we're doing here on this Freedom Friday, taking your phone calls and more. 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app. I was going to start talking about RFK Jr. and the fact that RFK Jr., Bobby Kennedy yesterday, the Health and Human Service Secretary, just body slammed one Democrat senator after another. And in fact, it was Vice President J.D. Vance who I thought said everything that needed to be said following this hearing yesterday. J.D. Vance said this: when I see all these senators trying to lecture and gotcha Bobby Kennedy today, all I can think is you all support off-label untested and irreversible hormonal therapies, he uses quotes on that, for children, mutilating our kids and enriching Big Pharma. He then says, you're full of, I'll just say, Adam Schiff, and everyone knows it. I mean, that really was the story of the day. In fact, this was one of my favorite highlights from RFK Jr., just taking the fight right back to every single one of these Senate Democrats yesterday, where they continued to lie about COVID. They continued to lie about the jab. They lied about vaccines. The list goes on and on and on. But this is one interaction that Jesse Waters shared last night on his program.
Every time they mounted an attack, Kennedy exposed them.
I was getting jerked around by your bureaucracy. I'd like it to end and get some progress.
Yeah, you know, Senator, you raised this during my confirmation hearing, but I said to you at that time, call me and let's come talk about this. You have my cell phone. You can call me anytime. I've never heard from you in 7 months.
That's all you need to know. It's all an act. They don't want to make America healthy again. They won't even pick up the phone. Months go by, Americans get sicker and sicker. Politicians wait for a hearing and then just scream at Kennedy and then go to the bar and get handed a check from Big Pharma.
Yeah, that soundbite really, as Jesse Waters says, tells you all you need to know about this hearing. They're a bunch of fakes. They're a bunch of phonies. They're a bunch of frauds. During his confirmation hearing, he told that very senator that you just heard from, hey, here's my cell phone. Give me a call if you have any concerns. Not once did that senator pick up the phone call in the last how many months? Anyway, we've got more highlights where that one came from. But speaking of phone lines, let's get into the phone lines right now. I was talking about Missoula County versus Flathead County. And here we go. Nice surprise phone call from Flathead County Commissioner, Commissioner Abel on the phone lines with us right now. Commissioner, great to hear from you. What did you want to share with our statewide audience here?
It's great to hear the plug for what we're doing up here in the Flathead, Aaron. And I want to share some of that. You know, as commissioners, we're taxpayers also, and our department heads, they're taxpayers, and we tell them to hold the line, and they do it. And I just want to give a little bit of that credit to our great staff that works here and that. And, you know, it's real easy to be a liberal. All you got to do is say yes to everything. And part of holding the line is being able to say no to some tough questions at times. You know, when people ask you for money for supposedly good things, but being able to say no, we just can't afford that today, just like you do with your home budget and everything else.
Yeah, you talk about your fine staff there. Yeah, I the piece that I quoted earlier in the week was a Daily Interlake story and quoted your county administrator. Great guy, retired Coast Guard, full bird, captain, I guess it would be in the Coast Guard, but yeah, great guy. But I love the fact that you guys actually shared the numbers. I've noticed that a lot of these cities and counties, they don't want people to know how much their revenue has actually increased because of the growth. They only want to tell you how much their costs have gone up. Well, we've got this new subdivision. It's going to cost this much to put in sewer and infrastructure. So they never tell you how much money they're making and how much more their revenue went up this year compared to last year. You guys actually shared those numbers and said, hey, we're bringing in this much more money than we did the year before. So we're going to lower property taxes for our constituents. And then you see what the Democrats in Missoula are doing.
Right, and I see that. You know, my concern is that about 30% of your tax bill in the Flathead is going to the county, and I don't know what the school districts and the other things, you know, a lot of that goes to education, and I don't have any control over what they do, and I worry that that your taxes will still go up. Your assessments went up on your property. So anyway, when all that's said and done, I hope the other government entities, you write that, don't take what we're saving you. And, you know, you write that whole check for your property taxes goes to Flathead County. But we only get that third. We collect it for those other people. And so we get the blame sometimes when taxes do go up when it wasn't our part.
Good point.
Our part of the bill. And we just, I'd like people to be aware of that. I mean, we're doing what we can. I don't know if we're trying to be responsible. Some of this new growth, I mean, we drive around the Flathead, we see all these vehicles on the road, and we go, man, we don't like the newcomers, but that's part of why our taxes are lower. And we try and make those developers, when we put a subdivision in, we condition that so the developers are paying for those road costs and
pick up some of the early infrastructure costs. Yeah, no, great point. Right. Hold that thought, Commissioner. Got to take a quick break here on Montana Talks. Phone lines are open, 406-294-0970. Stand by. We'll be back right after this.
From Mondakistan to the Flathead, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we'll talk more about these RFK hearings on Capitol Hill yesterday. I got some more great highlights to come for you. But phone lines are open. We want to hear what you want to talk about. The show is called Montana Talks. After all, you get a chance to be heard all across the state. Let's see. I think we've got, before I get to Jeff and Billings, one more thing I wanted to say. Again, thanks to Flathead County Commissioner Brad Abel for calling into the program as well. I checked in with him during the break there. But, yeah, no, to his point, that was a good caution flag that he threw out there, which is like, okay, so the state of Montana, the state legislature and the governor signed a property tax relief bill into law that now some of you are going to get hit, second homes, things like that with increases. But in theory, residential property taxpayers should get a property tax break from the state. And then Flathead County Commissioners just voted to lower property taxes for the county property taxpayers in Flathead County. But it was a good caution flag that was thrown out there by Commissioner Abel to say, hey, we don't control the schools. The school board may still say for your school district, no, you know what? We're going to say, we don't care that the state is lowering your property taxes. We don't care that the county is lowering your property taxes. We're going to take more of your money anyway. And frankly, in School District 2 in Billings, that's exactly what they're doing. It's exactly what they're doing. And you notice they're not telling you how much more money they have because of all of the growth in School District 2. All that growth way out there on the west end of Billings, all that growth in the Heights. Billings is growing all over the place. They don't want you to know about that growth. They don't want you to know about all the taxpayers that are now feeding into that tax base, because they're going to use every dime of that money and they're going to come back and take more of your money. They don't care if you're struggling. And you're going to see the same thing from other liberal school boards all across the state. So it's just like what we told you. That's why fundamentally we the people have to step in here and get a constitutional initiative to fix this property tax mess. No matter what the state legislature did or was going to do or what they were talking about, none of it was going to fix the fundamental problem that they are taxing you based off of the value of your home instead of maybe what you actually paid for it. And until they rein in local and county government spending, they're never going to rein in your taxes, no matter which place they get your money from. All right, back to the phone lines. We got Jeff in Billings listening to KBUL. Jeff, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
Hey, good morning. I love your show.
Well, you're too kind. Thank you.
The other day when you had Congressman Downing on, I got tied up at work, so I wasn't able to hear the whole thing. But I was going to ask him what his thoughts were, or what they're thinking, with Texas redistricting and gaining five House seats, but California is threatening to redo theirs. If he had any indication what the Republicans, if they had a plan to do something, or what the thoughts were of holding the House next fall, and I'll hang up and listen.
Oh, yeah, good question. Yeah, it's been a few days since I've heard much on the whole redistricting debate. The last I heard was obviously Texas had moved forward with their redistricting plan. And, yeah, California, which already has a very unfair map politically, Now they want to go into full totalitarian mode where basically they wipe Republicans completely off the map in California. And so, yeah, good question there from Jeff in Billings. Well, how will the Republicans respond to that? I think one of the things I was hearing was basically what they're saying is, okay, if these blue states are going to try to wipe Republicans off the map, well, then we'll redo our maps to balance it out. So they were looking at states like Indiana and some other red states to redo their districts and to do redistricting in their states as well. The thing I wonder about with some of these blue states, how much worse can they do when it comes to redistricting? They have already squeezed every ounce of juice out of those lemons they possibly can, because they have had such an unfair, such unfair processes and maps for so long, and the Democrats have used the power that they have to do this type of nonsense. Whereas Republicans have drawn much more fair maps, they've been much nicer, much more, do we want to say, democratic about the whole process. And so what happens when Republicans finally say, okay, no more Mr. Nice Guy with you guys here? Yeah, great question. I wish I had more of an updated answer for you there. 406-294-0970. Is that a caller on the phone lines there, Alan and Bozeman? Caden, if so, send that caller our direction, too. I didn't see a phone line there. Yeah, send Alan our way. We'll go to Alan next. Alan and Bozeman, what's on your mind on this Freedom Friday here with some open phone lines this morning?
Well, freedom's on my mind. I'm just wondering how many more dollars and how much more treasure are we going to have to send Zelensky and Netanyahu? It's ongoing. It never stops. And I'm just saying it simply, it has to end because we are broke as a nation. We owe $37 trillion. The interest on it is consuming our entire budget, and yet we continue to fund these wars overseas. China's not funding those wars, and I watched their parade yesterday, and they had shiny new lasers and all kinds of new missiles, and they have R&D and money to develop and build their military. But us, on the other hand, we're funding wars all over the world. Why and when will it stop? My simple question, I know all the reasons why it's the right thing to do. We can't afford it anymore.
Well,
that's all I'm saying.
Alan, correct me if I'm wrong here. Well, first off, bigger picture, this is exactly why, President Trump working to bring about peace and end this war is the exact right thing to do. And I fully believe that he will be successful here. But the other question I would have for you, I guess, is I thought, unless I missed something in the news, that President Trump has already made a key, change in policy here where are American weapons going to Ukraine? Yes, they are. But the Europeans are paying for those weapons. The Europeans are paying for their own security. So, well, it's not costing us actually. And you could argue that we're actually benefiting financially from the Europeans purchasing those weapons. Now, that's a very key, significant difference from the last administration.
Okay, that's a great thing. I'm going to say that you're absolutely right. But I'm also saying to you is that Zelensky is the most crooked piece of politician that has ever walked the face of this earth. His wealth is untold. It's unimaginable. I would hate to think of how many of our tax dollars that Mr. Zelensky has managed to accrue. And in the name of what? An ongoing slaughter that is just killing thousands and thousands and thousands of people with, unless we go to big WW3, they have no hope of beating Russia.
Yeah, but say what you want about Zelensky, but I maybe it was just a conjecture, but I still think you cannot look at the end of the day. He didn't start this war. Putin did. And why did Putin start this war? Because of the weakness of Joe Biden and the weakness of the Biden regime. Nobody was invading these countries when Donald J. Trump was the president. But the disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan led by Joe Biden, then the shark smelled blood in the water, and then the shark started attacking. I think the real sharks are Xi Jinping and the communist Chinese and Vladimir Putin. You know, really, when we want to talk about who some of the worst actors are on the earth right now. Alan, great to hear from you. Thanks for calling in. Let's see. Let's get Joe Dooling in Helena is next up on the phone lines. Let's send that one on through. And, yeah, we'll get to actually let's get to Joe right now. Joe Dooling, hey, we're talking about turn your radio down. There you go. Yeah, we were talking about, you know, hey, the state might give you a residential property tax relief. The county might give you a property tax relief. Maybe not. Maybe not Lewis and Clark County, I guess, although it's better now than it was a few years ago. But the schools, they're going to come for more of your money. In fact, they're coming for more of your money in Helena right now, right?
$250,000, Aaron, on a September 9th election. The fact that that's legal blows my mind in the first place. But, yeah, largest in the state's history by far, $283 million. That's what they're coming for. $500 for the average home in Lewis and Clark County, an additional $500 a year for 40 years. Absolutely ridiculous. I'm blown away at, and if you go and look, I mean, that Perkins Coie law firm you're talking about, they're donating to the support schools fund.
Really?
It's shocking, the supporters. It's shocking. I'm good at math and poor at English, so I lack the words to describe how egregious this is, Aaron. I'm shocked by it. And see, the thing about it is, and the two biggest single assets in the school district are Hauser and Holter Dam. So if you're a Northwest Energy customer, you're going to help build the schools in Helena, Montana, because they'll be taxed and automatic pass through the PSC, automatic.
That's right. Taxes are automatically put onto the ratepayers, so your electricity costs will go up as a result of a property tax hike.
Yeah, so you folks in Polson and the folks up there in Haver, we sure appreciate you playing for our schools. So that's what's going to happen. I think this is going to fail, but it is. I mean, this thing came out of nowhere. There was no discussion, no anything. All of a sudden we hear, we're coming for $280 million.
Didn't they just come to the taxpayers, what, a couple, 3 years ago? And for the first time in a long time, they had a school levy or something fail.
All five of them failed, yeah. Mm-hmm. They're coming for about the same amount for a household. It was almost $400 if all five would have passed, yeah.
Interesting. Well, Joe, hold that thought if you can stay with us on the phone lines. We got to hit the break here, but I've got one more question for you. I'm wondering, in the coverage or in their information that they're providing here at the last minute on this bond request, have they told you how much their revenues have increased because of all the growth in Helena, or are they hiding that from you? Stand by.
This is where Montana talks ag. With Lane Nordland.
Tight dairy heifer supplies could limit milk production. The nation's supply of replacement dairy heifers has dropped to a 20-year low, and a new CoBank report warns it could shrink by another 800,000 head over the next 2 years before trying to recover in 2027. One of the big reasons? Many dairy farmers have shifted to producing calves for the beef market. With the U.S. cattle supply at a 75-year low and beef prices at record highs, breeding dairy cows to beef has become a major profit driver. Last year alone, nearly 8 million beef semen units were sold to dairies, reflecting just how far the shift has gone. Dairy heifer prices have already topped $3,000 a head this year. The shortage comes as $10 billion in new dairy processing plants are set to open through 2027 in the United States, raising concerns about whether there will be enough milk cows to meet demand. CoBank economists say dairy farmers may have to slow culling cows to keep milk flowing, but rebuilding the pipeline of replacement, of course, will take many years. A reminder for graduate students in the meat and animal science realm, you can apply for the W.D. Farr Scholarship Program through the National Cattlemen's Foundation through September 19th. All details can be found at the nationalcattlemensfoundation.org. I'm Lane Northland.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Yeah, keep the phone calls coming. It's great to hear what you want to talk about on this Open Lines Friday, on this Freedom Friday, 406-294-0970. Want to go back to Joe Dooling in Helena here. Joe, yeah, I threw the question out before the break there. I threw the question out, which is, you know, these school levies, these school bonds, school budgets, et cetera, so often with government, they never tell you how much they're benefiting from growth. They only tell you how much growth is costing them. Flathead County, good job by them being honest and saying, hey, we're making this much money because of the growth, so we're going to lower property taxes. It, in the midst of this, what, $250,000 bond request by the schools in Helena.
Have they told you quarter billion?
Thank you. Yeah, gee. Could, man. Oh, golly. I need to, like John Jackson says, now I need to go smoke a cigarette. And I don't even smoke cigarettes. But, Are they telling you, well, because of all the growth in Helena, because what my real estate friends were telling me is that the Helena real estate market has been the hottest real estate market in the state here in the past few months/year or two. So there's a lot of growth in Helena, right? So that tells you they have more people paying taxes, so they should be growing their budget. So why do they need more of your money?
For pay raises. Seriously, 6 weeks before the election, so 5 weeks ago, the election, Tuesday, 5 weeks ago, they gave the administration 4% pay raises. To a guy that's already making 4.5 times the median income of Lewis and Clark County. Now, you've heard me on your radio before talking about how ridiculous some of these superintendent salaries are. And how they make so much more than the governor. It's shocking. The principal at Helena High makes more than the governor does. So these wages are out of sight ridiculous. So the superintendent of schools in East Helena is making roughly 40% of what the superintendent of the Helena school system is making. And we say, well, geez, Joe, he's got more schools. Yeah, but he also has a staff of 20, and the guy in East Helena's got one staff. So it's just ridiculous. These AA school districts have gone over the top ridiculous. These school board elections being held on a Thursday or a Saturday afternoon, and you have to jump through three hoops to vote is the reason we've got to get these school board elections, these school bonds to go with the primary election, get the turnout. But the fact that we don't have some sort of threshold of how much people need to vote to do $250 million tax increase. It's shocking to me.
I think tax hikes should require more than just a simple majority. I know there was a bill in the legislature to do just that. All right, Jill, before we get to our next caller on the phone lines here, you said you also wanted to talk about the Montana PSC, the Public Service Commission. The good news out of the Montana PSC is this. This was a headline from the Lee newspapers. Montana PSC denies petition from 40-plus groups to consider climate impacts. So thankfully, the all-Republican PSC unanimously denied this absurd request from a whole bunch of radical environmental groups, a bunch of Democrat Party front groups, because this would have just artificially raised our electric utility rates. That's the good news. From your perspective, though, there's some bad news at the PSC. Tell us what you wanted to talk about on that front.
I'm not sure if the listeners have been paying attention, but Brad Monar, the president of the PSC, is being accused of stuff. He's really not even sure exactly what he's being accused of. And a letter's been sent to the governor asking him to be removed. So he's going to have the punishment before the trial. But what's alarming to me, and look, call me a conspiracy theorist, you know, I've been sitting around listening, smelling my own cigar smoke too long. The fact that we have this merger happening with Black Hills and Northwest Energy, they say, well, there's not going to be a rate reduction, and there's not going to be a reduction of employees. So why are we doing this merger? And this thing is so quiet and being pushed through. And I kind of think that there's a correlation because Brad, who, by the way, is no friend of mine, right? I mean, when I ran for the PSC, he was a pretty harsh critic of mine. So it's not like I'm this buddy-buddy here. But he's asking the tough questions about why are we doing this merger? Because, you know, a little bit of PTSD from the Montana Power mess up that happened 25 years ago, that maybe we should be a little more cautious when we do stuff with our utility companies. He's asking the tough questions, and all of a sudden he's being asked to be removed. Call me a conspiracy theorist if you want, but I think the two are related.
Interesting. Yeah, it's I got a chance to catch up with Brad Molnar, with Commissioner Molnar, when that whole complaint kind of first became public. And yeah, it's kind of like, okay, they say that he's being investigated, but yet it doesn't seem like he's really being told why he's being investigated. He's not really getting due process. And I'm always very concerned whenever I see these organizations or these institutions that basically want to be prosecutors, but they don't carry the same protections and rights that your actual prosecutors have, like your county attorneys, for example, things like that. All right, Joe, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. Let's see. Tell you what, Mike and Bozeman, stand by. Caden, go ahead and send Bill Witsit our way next, because I knew Bill was going to give us a call here on this Friday. Oh, you can't at the moment. Okay, he's working on. He's got a few different calls. His system froze up on him here. Hey, I'll tell you what I'll do. I will actually have Bill Witsit give me a call. I can loop him in on my cell phone here. So okay, so Caden's system froze up. All right. Okay, real quick, before we get to our callers then, and I'll actually see if I can have Bill Witsit. Bill, if you are listening, give me a call on my cell phone, and I can actually get you on the show that way. So I will text him right now as well. Hey, speaking of prosecutors, speaking of county attorneys, did you guys see this big news out of Cascade County? Josh Rackey, the Cascade County attorney, who, as I understand, is doing a great job as the county attorney there. We had Cascade County Sheriff Jesse Slaughter with us recently on the show talking about his school safety, school security program, right? Well, some of you may not remember this, but Cascade County Sheriff Jesse Slaughter originally ran for sheriff as a Democrat in Cascade County. You know, back in the day, you pretty much had to be a Democrat to get elected in Cascade County. And then Sheriff Slaughter left. He announced he was leaving the Democrat Party. Well, the Democrat Party, the Montana Democrat Party, especially, is such a complete train wreck right now. They're all on the transgender train, you know, chopping body parts off of kids, anti-law enforcement. It's just crazy what is happening with the Democrat Party of today. But here is Josh Rackey, talking about why he is now joining the Republican Party. He shared this on Facebook earlier this week.
Good afternoon. I'm Josh Rackey. I'm a lifelong Montanan, an Army veteran, and your county attorney. Over the past several years, we've watched the Democrat Party change. The movements to defund the police, the attacks on law enforcement, and putting criminals before victims has gone too far. The Republican Party puts the safety of law-abiding citizens first, standing with law enforcement. I've always served the people of Cascade County with fairness and integrity. Today, I announce my switch to the Republican Party. This decision only strengthens my ability to protect citizens, safeguard the Constitution, and relentlessly pursue justice. I'm proud to continue my work on your behalf now as a Republican County Attorney. I humbly ask for your continued support.
All right, there you go. So that was, Cascade County Attorney Josh Rackey. And I saw Senator Tim Sheehy also commented on his Facebook post there as well. And I think he even went and shared a video alongside with him there. So yet another prominent official announced that he is fleeing the Democrat Party. All right, Freedom Friday. Every Freedom Friday, we also always like to get some, you know, pro-patriotic stories in there, talking about law enforcement, first responders, our troops, you name it. Well, this is very cool news. Coming up next week, I can't believe this is already next week, the USS Montana captain and crew are coming back to Montana. The submarine captain and the sailors of the USS Montana are back in Big Sky Country next week. They've got events in Helena, Great Falls, Fort Benton, and at the University of Montana. I think you guys heard me talk about next week. The University of Montana is actually having a military alumni reunion. And as one of those military alumni members myself, I'm so looking forward to seeing, fellow veterans, classmates, and others for that reunion. I'll actually be broadcasting live as part of that military alumni reunion next Friday, next Freedom Friday. But Bill Witsit with the USS Montana Committee, I've got him on my phone right now. We'll take you to Bill right after the break. And Bill, thanks for your patience here with the phone system.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Bill Witsit with the USS Montana Committee now with us on the phone lines from Big Fork. Bill, we got the captain of the ship coming back to Montana next week. I like to think that I'm the captain of my own ship now as well. I think I drove my pontoon boat probably right next to your house on the lake over Labor Day weekend, so I should have waved at you.
You did. Well, you know, it's the Flathead Navy. We'll make you an honorary member.
Hey, there we go. I'm in. You can enlist me. There we go.
That's great. Yeah, we're pretty excited about the captain. He's a new captain. We've now had three altogether over time. You know, they all rotate in and out. And so he's bringing the chief of the boat and three award-winning sailors with him. And we're real excited.
Yeah, this is Commander John Gilligan. What a great name for being in the Navy. This is the USS Montana submarine. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. And so they're going to be, as you said earlier in the program, they're going to be in a number of places around Montana. And one of the key things that we love to do with all of these visits to different parts of the state over different years is make sure that our sailors, first and foremost, know that Montanans are very pro-military, that we love our military and our veterans, and that we are going to be with them in spirit and prayer. If they ever have to go to war, we're there with them. And so that's a key element. And the other thing is they get to learn about Montana's history, about our culture, our diversity. They get to meet Native peoples and people in all size communities and talk to them and become part of who we are. And so we're excited to have them doing that next week.
It's so fun because it's kind of like last summer during the Yellowstone International Air Show, or a couple summers ago now. They'll be back next summer. But, you know, when the Blue Angels and the U.S. Navy and their support crews were all in Montana, you know, aside from our friends in Great Falls with Malmstrom Air Force Base, a lot of us don't get the opportunity to interact with and see on display our active duty military troops because, you know, all the other major military bases are, you know, in other places, oftentimes on the East Coast and on the West Coast and abroad. And so that's why it's so fun for people to get this opportunity to interact with our active duty U.S. military.
It is. And, you know, our military is really the ultimate teamwork organization, right? So we are actually taking Captain Gilligan and his crew members to Malmstrom, and they're going to get a flavor for what the missileers do, too, as part of that team that we have in the military. And they're excited about doing that. And then all of the people that will attend the public events will get a chance to shake hands, look these guys in the eye, and they might ask him, you know, how long are you prepared to stay underwater? I mean, who knows?
Two legs of the nuclear triad in one place there with our nuclear-powered submarine crews from the USS Montana there with our incredible nuclear missile crews there at Malmstrom Air Force Base. By the way, I've got a story on our Montana Talks website. I chatted with Senator Steve Daines, got an update on the Sentinel missile system upgrade And he was just raving following his recent visit to Malmstrom Air Force Base. Well, Bill, thanks again for all you do to support the troops on the USS Montana. Do you want to take that garrison hat off and put on another hat for a second?
Sure.
Because I think, yeah, take that hat off, put on another hat for a second. As a taxpayer, you were listening in to our conversation with Flathead County Commissioner Brad Abel. You know, hey, the county lowers your taxes, the state might lower your taxes, but what are the schools going to do, right?
Well, it's a lot more than schools, and this is really something that most people don't realize. On my tax bill here in Flathead County, and by the way, we think Brad Abel and the others are doing a great job holding the budget line, but I have 55 additional line items of special districts and fees for special districts, and we have one of the special districts that's going to be proposing in just a few weeks a vote that will increase their share of my property taxes by 200%. So, again, these are often flying under the radar. I mean, it can be communications districts, fire districts, special districts for all kinds of things, libraries, all of those. And they're all good causes, but they fly often under the radar, and there isn't a good way to gauge how well are they really managing their money, how well is the thought process on this next proposal, how does it compare with what they said before about when they would need more money, all of those things. And I think all of us as citizens need to pay more attention, and we need better cooperation from many media who just will say, well, this is being proposed and it's for these purposes without
great point.
Seeing whether people have great questions about them.
Yeah, great point. And I don't see why all of their budgets are not have not gone up dramatically anyway, looking at all the construction, especially right there along the lake. Bill Whitson, yep. Thanks for all you do. Thanks for calling in. Let me try to sneak in one last caller. We've only got about 30 seconds to go, but Travis in Billings, what did you want to say about school district taxes?
Good morning, Aaron. Thanks for all you do for our state. I live in the Blue Creek District, south of Billings. Our property taxes that are allotted to schools and education is about 39% of our property taxes. And the last stats I saw for SD2, reading and math proficiency for grades 11 and 7, I believe, were right in that 30 to 40% proficiency range. So how about some ROI on those education dollars?
Very interesting. Reminds me of the news out of Minnesota. Mississippi, despite spending less on education than Minnesota, is just crushing Minnesota when it comes to reading numbers right now. Travis, thanks for the call. Glad we snuck in.